One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Badientos, Tina Burnett, and Alan. Me. Oh my gosh, how's everybody doing? Tina just finished training me, by the way.
Nice.
She did a great job.
What'd y'all do?
Well, what's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. We did a lot of neural adaptations and strength training.
Nice. Well, we did squats with a band around your above your knees.
While
we
I was
did,
squatting ouch. 20 pounds.
Nice. Yeah, we did some rows with a band with the extra tube. And I stood up on the bench.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Try to avoid getting pulled off by you because you're so strong and you were like pulling. I was like trying to hold back because I don't have anywhere to attach the band because I can't find my door strap thing where you can attach those to the door and close it. So I'm just holding it so she can do rows.
Oh, I appreciate band. That.
Yeah, we're working on posture and getting her shoulder blades down.
Yeah, my shoulder blades down.
Your trapezius.
Well, when I get stressed, we talked about it yesterday with Jill. You know, when I get stressed, I hunch over.
You hunch like, and your shoulders come up and forward. And so what that does is it causes the upper trapezius, the upper traps, which is from your base of your head or skull out to your shoulders. That's the upper traps. And they get overdeveloped because when you're activating those muscles all the time, you build them up, and they get tight.
Yeah.
And that makes it even harder to get your shoulders down because they're tight and they're just constantly up. And the more you can contract contract the lower trapezius.
Well, I guess
which pulls your shoulder blades down.
When you just said that and I put my hands behind, I put my shoulders back, put my chest out and drop my hands down, it feels really good. It gives you a lot more movement.
Well, it lengthens the upper traps when you pull the shoulders down. You actually get an active stretch.
Well, I just feel so much stronger after working out with you. It's just incredible. She's such a good trainer. She really is. And we're going to be talking today about neural adaptations and strength training. We've got Drew Manning on, Mr. Fit to Fat to Fit. Did you see his pictures on Instagram?
Oh yeah,
I've never seen the before, the after, and the after.
I started following him on Instagram a long time ago.
Yeah,
it gives you a good visual.
Interesting.
What he put his body through.
I know, it's fascinating. Actually,
I could have never done something like that. Of course, the guys can get away with it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, better than a girl can, especially a female trainer. But you know, he did it. He did it. It's kind of like a movie star that has to gain a bunch of weight for a show and then drop it. You know.
Who was it that dropped a bunch of weight for a role and never looked the same afterwards? I'm trying to think of who it was.
Ooh.
Oh, what is his name? He's from Texas.
Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey has never been as hot since he lost all that weight.
Yeah, was it Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He looked Christian Bale, too.
Yeah, Christian Bale for The Machine or whatever that movie was called. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it screws you up. I mean, just the things that happen to your body when you put it in that state of starvation and in emaciation.
You know?
I mean,
it was
like an anorexic.
Insane.
They die from it if you stay that way too long. I'm sure he had doctors on him all the time to make sure he wasn't, you know, too dehydrated and gonna freaking have a heart attack or something.
Well, and I know you like a big man, Tina.
I do. I like some meat on their bones. One of my clients the other day, we were talking. She's pregnant, and her husband's like literally he's like six or six really tall. He's
holy moly. Yeah.
And he's beefy too. And he had put
on. Yeah, you like him beefy.
Oh my God. We were like, men just aren't supposed to be skinny.
I don't know.
I just, this is not attractive to me. Well, and even someone that's like uber lean, like super, super lean, not, I don't mean like a bodybuilder big, but like a skinny guy, but that's also super lean. It's just kind of like, what are you going to hold on to? You know, it's like hugging a tree.
Yeah.
Bark. It's like hugging a tree.
You get
bark.
Beefier as you get older.
I like a little cushion.
You know, guys are always skinny when they're young.
That's why I asked. Do you get beefier as you get older?
Yeah.
Well, most men do, but there's men, you know, these, and I don't mean like someone in their 60s, like an old guy. I mean, like you see guys in their 30s and 40s that are just shredded, but they're,
I get what you're saying.
Okay.
But men say that they like women with a little meat on their bones, too. Mm-hmm. So,
that's true.
You know, really super lean, ripped women. Yep. It's not feminine looking. So.
Yeah. I don't want to lose really any weight. I just want to get more muscular. I don't want to get really lean. I completely lose my curves, like on my thighs and everything, when I get really lean. Yeah. So, you know, I look like I have a boy figure, not a female figure. I like a
you
little
You mean
bit.
Like me?
No, you've got curves.
I got a little curves. I mean, I put muscle on the waist. My hips are so narrow that I don't have a lot. My waist isn't. I don't have like a little waist and then hips because I have such narrow hips straight down.
From me.
I have narrow shoulders. I'm just petite.
There you go.
I do have some muscle.
Well, you know, we got the latest copy of Cosmo in the mail a couple of days ago, and I brought it in. And Aviana wanted to ask everyone, what's on your nightstand?
Yeah.
What's on your nightstand, Tina?
Like 4 bottles of water.
What about in your nightstand?
Anything interesting?
In your nightstand.
Well, I do have a bunch of drawers, so I used it to put all my bathing suits in to get them out of my closet. And then, you know, there's a top little secret drawer that has a few items.
I didn't know that was the question. I thought it was what's what's in your nightstand. I don't know. Gosh, I'd have to. Look, probably a heating pad and some other things, you know.
Some eye drops.
I think I have some
lube.
I've got mineral oil. No.
A flashlight?
Mineral oil to help you sleep. In fact, Ancient Minerals and Fibromedica, who's on the show today, Jared Ramirez, to talk about gut health and maintaining a healthy gut microbiome throughout the holidays. It's going to be a really good show. And Drew Manning, as I said, Fit to Fat to Fit, and Tina Burnett. But what was I? So on my nightstand, I always have like at least a stack of probably 6 or 7 books.
Yeah.
At least.
I don't have one book on my nightstand. You know why? Because it would just sit there and not get read.
Yeah.
They're in my office and above my office desk and in drawers.
Yeah.
And I've got still some in boxes. When we moved, I haven't pulled all my books out yet.
Well, I have a light on my nightstand.
Yeah.
Do you have a light on your nightstand?
Oh, yeah. I have a lamp.
Yeah.
A lamp.
I have a little lamp that I got at IKEA. I just love it. It was only like $15. They have like the best deals up there.
Did you have to put it together?
But it wasn't really hard.
IKEA.
In fact,
everything has to be put together.
Aviana's putting together some IKEA bookcases tomorrow morning.
I love those DIY projects. Yeah.
I've got to get my office in shape. It is. I'm doing it before the end of the year. During the break, that's what I'm working on for sure.
I'd rather you pull my toenails out than have to put something together like that.
It's one of those. It's a meditation almost. You just focus on one thing that you're doing. And
now, if I had some wine, maybe some snacks, I might.
Oh. My gosh. You guys, I had the finest bottle of wine I think I've ever had in my life last night.
Bernadette would not stop talking about
it.
Was it a red? He's like, I wish I had some right now after this workout.
It was biodynamic, made in France. You can't get it here in America.
What does biodynamic mean?
It means that they follow the rules of Mother Nature and the earth, and they don't there's no harm to the earth. There's no harm
chemicals
to the grapes. There's nothing that's not natural. It's the closest. When I taste it last night, I was like, oh my gosh, it brought me back to when I was a kid, because my dad used to make wine in our cellar in our house on Cooper Street in Watertown, New York. He used to make it with my Uncle Kent around the holidays, and I've actually got video on an old like 8mm camera that one of my sisters put on VHS or something of them tapping the big wine barrel on Christmas Eve.
That's
I'm 5 years old jumping around like a little
like Lucy.
Remember the Lucy
show where she's tromping in the grapes?
So we used to, but that's the closest thing I can describe it to the wine was so clean. It was so delicious. You could just, it was incredible. But you can, I'm going to see if I can order some from France. It sounds like that would be very expensive, though.
Yeah,
but
I would think so.
You know, for special occasions where you just break it out when you really, really want a good glass of wine, I'll find out.
I bet the shipping cost on that would
the
be.
The shipping might be, yeah.
Be. I try to order a case of this really good champagne that's really cheap. Mm-hmm. It's literally like $4.10 a bottle, but we love it for mimosas and a lot of it's always was one that restaurants always use. Uh-huh. When I was in Boulder, all these restaurants are used it, and we're like, what is this? Found it for $4. You can get it specs for four. If you buy a case, it's like $4.10 a bottle, but nice. It's great. And I called, I was going to just have them ship me some. The shipping cost was more than the case of champagne was. I was like, screw that. No, I'm not paying that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, and at $4 a pop, well, why don't you just tell them to get it in the store?
I did. I'm waiting for them to call me.
Okay.
That was 2 weeks ago. They still haven't called me. I don't know what the deal is. Mm. Anyway.
I'm just in shock over here at this Cosmo. There's a lipstick case, not even a lipstick, but a Louis Vuitton case for $1,300.
Oh, that's stupid.
Just the case.
Wow.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
You know,
Sorry. I don't mean to be negative, but it's just like, come on.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, who would buy this?
That's the Kardashians.
It makes
Anyways.
With a ton of money that don't care. Doesn't matter. Well, yeah, that's like pocket change.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Nordstrom the other day, you know, doing Christmas shopping at North Park, and they have Christian Louboutin baby shoes now for like one pair was $225, one pair was $275 with the red leather bottoms.
You actually shop in stores? I thought you did most of yours online.
No, No. I love Nordstrom. I always have.
I don't get baby shoes, though, because, like, they grow so quickly. Yeah, they wear them, and babies like kick them off anyways, right? Well, like, depending on how
but,
small
I mean,
the baby.
And so a bunch of people were gathered around looking at them, and here's what I said. I said, yeah, that's because of all the Kardashian BS. You know, of course, I said the full word. But, I mean, it's true. It's like
true.
We have become such a dumb society, the way we spend our money, like it's not difficult to earn. And then people are in so much debt.
Yeah,
you know, most people are in so much debt. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier. As a woman, it's very important to save money. Always be a saver.
Have your own money.
Have your
own
money.
Account.
Save your own money. And
you never know
build
why
your credit. Happen. Like, what happened to that?
You're what?
Saving money, build your credit, have good credit, and everyone's just like, spend it all now.
Yeah, like a savings account. Yeah. Oh my gosh, there's a novel idea. Do they even have them anymore? I mean,
I have to say, that's why there's just everybody's, you know, the economy, and people are spending crazy amounts of money that they don't have or shouldn't, or charging everything on a credit card.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
only thing about build your credit if you want to buy a house, but having a lot of credit cards is never a good idea, because I know when I was younger, it was like, oh, look, I have a credit card. Now I can go buy things. But then I couldn't pay off my credit card.
Yeah.
You know, because you end up spending more because you don't have to pay for it right then.
No, absolutely. Well, guess what? I just looked up at the clock and we're like 3 minutes late. Going to break. So
bye-bye.
Aye. Okay. We'll be right back, everyone. We have Jared Ramirez and Drew Manning, Fit to Fat to Fit, and Tina Burnett. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Working, making, doing makes us all the better, faster, stronger. That
don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Tina Burnett, and we have Drew Manning on the line. He is the New York Times best-selling author of the book Fit to Fat to Fit, and is best known for his fittofattofit.com experiment that went viral online. He's been featured on shows like Dr. Oz, Good Morning America, The View, and many, many more. His experiment has become a hit TV show called Fit to Fat to Fit, airing on A&E and Lifetime. His new book, Complete Keto, is available now, and you can reach him at his website at fittofattofit.com, and that's with F-I-T with the number 2, fat with the number 2, fit.com. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Drew?
Bernadette, it's always a pleasure to be back on with you guys. How are you?
I'm really good. I had fun posting your Fit to Fat to Fit photo that I had never
That's
seen before last night on Instagram. I put a bottle of hot sauce over the top of your head.
Because he's hot?
I'm just saying, you know.
It's just such a good visual, though, for people who don't know or, like, what you did for your weight loss journey. It's a really great visual for people to see that,
yeah,
what you put your body through.
Because I'd never seen it before, Drew, and I was like, holy smokes.
I've seen it, Drew. I've followed you for a long time before Bernadette even knew who you were.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it is a good visual, and it blows people away. A lot of people still think it's Photoshopped, which is crazy, but it's not.
No, it's really remarkable to show the difference in your body from just exercising, eating well, thinking well, all those things that give you total health and fitness. But, you know, today we're talking about something that isn't about health and fitness, really, although parenting is part of your life as a father, and mine is a mother, and Tina is a mother as well, parenting after divorce. And this is a very, I think, a very important subject to discuss, especially this time of year, because it's so hard on the kids and the parents too, but mostly the kids during the holidays after a divorce. So can you share what your experience has been as a single parent dealing with divorce?
Yeah, and a lot of it stems from the way we were raised or our perception of the culture we grew up in. So for me, my perception growing up kind of in a strict religion was divorce was a failure.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, if I get divorced, I am a failure. And I didn't know how to separate those two things from, you know, being seen as a failure and thinking that I am a failure, failing at something, and therefore I'm a failure. So at a very young age, I felt like if I failed at something, I was a failure. And divorce is a huge thing. And what a lot of people don't know is that I was going through a lot of my divorce stuff during Fit to Fat to Fit. So you see me on Dr. Oz, you see my ex-wife, you see us on like Jay Leno and Good Morning America, and we had to pretend like we were this happily married couple and you know, hashtag relationship goals. And that was really, really hard. And so here's the thing I will say is we decided to not get divorced until we were both healed. And so we went through a lot of therapy, a life coaching. We both put in the time and effort, you know, reading books and listening to podcasts to heal ourselves individually before we made the decision of getting divorced. So when we did get divorced, it was actually really amicable, and there was no fighting. And it was just, that's why we have a good relationship today, because we both put the time and effort into healing ourselves individually. And then we decided, okay, we've healed ourselves. Is it going to work between us? For us, it didn't end up that way. But
that's so wonderful.
The good thing that came out of it was that we are amicable and we co-parent really well and we're still good friends.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So many people can't do that.
I can't.
You know.
I'm trying, but man.
You know, and I can relate
to. Takes two to tango.
I was the first one ever in my family of thousands of years to be the first one to ever get divorced. You know, like, you just don't get divorced when you're Italian. You're just not supposed to do it. And being Catholic and stuff, it's like, it's just, and I felt like a lot of shame and failure too. I was like, oh my gosh. And I'm one to always take responsibility, like right out of the gate, like, what did I do wrong and how can I fix it? I think it's remarkable that you and your ex-wife or former wife were so intelligent about your divorce.
Yeah.
Well, it took a long time to get there. We definitely felt the guilt and the shame. You know, we went through therapy for 4 or 5 years before we felt like it was the right decision for us. And so here's the thing I want to say is hurt people hurt people. And unless you heal that hurt, you pass that on to either the next relationship or you pass it on to your kids. Unless you figure out a way to heal that hurt that's been done to you, whether it's from the divorce or from other things, you're going to pass that hurt on to someone else. So I decided, look, I want to break the cycle of the hurt being passed on to my kids or my next relationship or my next marriage. So, and if I don't heal that, then it's just going to be passed on. And that's why the cycle of hurt exists in this world. And things like racism and trauma, because we haven't healed it. And that's why we see a lot of people going to the next relationship without healing first. And then the same issues come up.
Well, yeah, and what I think happens is I really, you know, I think that people just sleep together too soon. I don't know if that was the case with you and your former wife, but people think they're in love and they're really in lust. Next thing you know, they're getting married and they're having children when they really weren't a good match in the first place, other than in bed.
Thank you, Tinder.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank Tinder for that.
I think it's just like the dumbest thing that women especially, like, give away that power. And not like, I don't mean to sound like, you know, oh, I'm so special or we're so special. But because we are the ones that house the aftermath, if you will, by house the child in our bodies and have to deliver it and ultimately be responsible for it, I just think that women should be more selective about who they lay down with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think the same thing, and for men too. And I feel like you jump into any situation too soon, you think that's going to help heal you, when in reality you use it as a distraction, just like you would alcohol or drugs, kind of numb the pain that you're feeling. When you're using it as a drug, kind of to numb the pain, it doesn't. You can't ever progress forward from that. And so I think that's a great point you made. The other thing that we did was, we both decided, look, we both, you know, have our issues. We both, you know that we have some things we got to fix. But it's not fair that the kids are the ones that end up suffering because of our decisions and our mistakes that we've made. So let's work together. Let's put our egos aside and work together to give our daughters the best life possible. Because what ends up happening is, when the parents go back and forth trying to make the other person suffer for what they did and vice versa, what happens is the kids are the ones that end up suffering from the adult decisions. And so we made a decision, look, we're going to do everything we can to give our girls the best life possible. And that includes us, you know, realizing that our ego is the enemy in this situation. So we're going to swallow our pride. And even though it might hurt to, you know, do something that, you know, makes you feel like, well, I should do this to get back at this person because of what they did. And that's going to make me feel better. Look at your kids' eyes and realize that they are the ones who are watching everything going on between you two.
Yeah.
And they're very observant. They're like sponges at that age.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they are. How old were your kids when you decided to split?
They were 4 and 6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's young.
Yeah, that is young.
Well, mine were close to that kind of close that age.
Well, divorce is just so difficult, and so many people struggle with the decision and then the aftermath. But do you have any advice for letting go of the past and moving forward in life, particularly when it comes to a divorce?
Yeah, so this is what happened to me, and what helped me is I read a book called Loving What Is by Byron Katie. And then I found a coach, a life coach, that uses Byron Katie's work. It's called The Work. Tim Ferriss was recently talking about this on his podcast and how it's remarkable at helping you change your perception of yourself first, of yourself and your situation, and then what happens, you learn to let go of the past by learning how to change your perception. So we create stories around a situation. So let's say, like, you know, this couple over here, you know, this person cheats on that person, and then you create a story around that saying, oh, this person did this to that person, therefore this person needs to be punished and X, Y, and Z, right? We make up a story around whatever has happened, and that story becomes our reality, and we believe that story to be so true. And so what Byron Katie's The Work does is they ask you 4 simple questions of, can you really know that your story is really true? And they do a really good job of flipping your story on its head, so that you see your story from a different perspective, and then you start to realize, okay, how much of this is real versus how much of this is just my own programming that I've had my whole life. And so what I would recommend for anyone out there is look into Byron Katie's The Work and her book called Loving What Is, and see if this resonates with you in letting go. But what happens is that I've seen a lot of people almost addicted to wanting to hold on to the pain, wanting to hold on to resentment, and what happens, they're the ones that end up suffering.
Yeah.
And so you realize, if you want to hold on to that past and hold on to that story that you've created around whatever has happened, just know that you're going to be the one that ends up suffering unless you learn how to let it go. So me and my ex-wife, if you ever want to go listen to our full story on my podcast, episode 100, and then episode 101 is from my ex-wife's perspective, which really powerful. You get both sides of the story of how we both have healed and let go and move forward from both sides of the coin.
I love it. And I love that you're doing the right thing for your children. So many people don't. So many people don't, and it's very damaging. And sometimes it takes years to repair that damage from the trauma of a divorce with children.
Well, and you're blessed that you have a ex-spouse, former spouse. I hate the word ex.
Yeah, I do too.
But that is willing to do that with you, that you guys were able to agree and make that happen on both sides, because, you know, not all of us are in that situation. I've never been in a situation. I mean, I've always been wanting to, you know, work through and co-parent, and the other person just is not. Just still holds anger and resentment. So
it's frustrating. It's always good to talk with you, Drew. We're going to have to go to break. We went over on the first segment, so.
We went over yakking about next to nothing.
We talked a little bit about you, too. Yeah. But always great to have you on the show. Hope you'll come back again soon. Always a pleasure.
Of course.
All right.
Course.
And, thank you so much. And happy holidays to you and your former wife and your children. Have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're welcome. All right, everyone, we've got Jared Ramirez coming up and Tina Burnett. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Tina Burnett, and Jared Ramirez. He is the CEO of Enviromedica, and Jared has spent the last 14 years taking an ancestral approach to whole body nutrition. He develops innovative foundational wellness products that help people achieve optimal health. Their website is enviromedica.com. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Jared?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Good, good. Well, what's the weather like down in Austin?
It is brisk today.
Yeah?
But it was 80 last week, so.
Gosh.
Probably a lot like it is here.
It's crazy. Yep. And so many people are moving to Texas. That includes Austin and Dallas at the top of that list.
You can tell by the traffic.
Yeah, just the traffic.
Bonkers.
And I don't know what it's like in Austin, but Jared, but here in Dallas, just to get your driver's license renewed.
Oh my gosh.
Is a 2 or 3 hour wait just to get in the building because there's so many people in Dallas
that's
now.
That's if you go to McKinney, Texas.
And that's
supposed to be the fastest, but if you go to the big giant DMV in Garland, 5 or 6 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, but it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, Jared. And today we're talking about maintaining a healthy microbiome through the holidays. So, you know, we all try to do our best to eat healthy foods during the holidays, but it's really hard to stay on track with all the sweets and rich foods everywhere. So can you tell our listeners what happens when our gut microbiome is disrupted and what effect it may have on our overall health?
Well, it's a broad question. I think, if your microbiome's disrupted, everything gets disrupted. Sleep, mental status, stress levels. I think, it's pretty well known that the microbiome affects total body health. So really, it's pretty far reaching in terms of what the, damaging effects could be, although we do have an ability to bounce back to some extent.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to talk about Terra Flora because Tina's in studio with us today, and she had remarkable results with the product. How do you think your gut microbiome got disrupted? And because Terra Flora fixed it, so clearly, what was wrong?
I don't know. I didn't ever go get checked out or anything like that. There was tests I could have done, but I think a lot of it was stress. I think a lot of it was a long-term term of stress, and because I eat really good, I don't eat, I eat super, super clean.
Yeah, yeah,
so
she does.
I really think a lot of it was stress, and it just never corrected itself until I started taking the Terra Flora. That's the only thing that's ever worked.
Yeah. Well, Jared, what does stress do to the gut microbiome? Is that a big distressor?
It can be, absolutely. Everybody is familiar with the feeling of having butterflies in their stomach, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the, most common expression. And so stress can impact the microbiome. It's a bi-directional highway, right? So it's, again, we've discussed that before. It's called the gut-brain axis.
Mm-hmm.
And just as our mental stress can affect our gut microbiome, our gut microbiome can affect our mental behaviors. There's a emerging field of basically looking at the gut microbiome and its impact on mental health status. So it's cutting edge as far as psychiatry is concerned.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, it seems like it's easier to get our gut to bounce back in the new year when we start eating healthy foods again. Everybody's going to be so focused on, 2020.
Resolution.
Yeah, resolutions and all that. What do you say to them?
I'm not too big on the resolution side, to be honest. I think that, a lot of what folks deal with is this kind of cyclical behavior mm-hmm. where they tear themselves down and build themselves back up. And you know, there's obviously going to be certain challenges, you know, to the body and life, but I think adopting a more of a lifestyle-centric approach, you know, I mean, in my own life, I just don't do these things as a matter of course, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And it's, again, if you think of the body as an investment account, you know, you just have to always be putting in more than you're taking out. Mm-hmm. And some people are more sensitive to what can be taken out, depending on what's going on in their life. You know, whereas, you know, kind of an illustrative example, you know, I, you know, through my work, I deal with stress from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to be more intentional about how I maintain my life and my health. Whereas if I'm sitting on a beach somewhere on vacation,
yeah.
you know, the impact on that on my body is far less, and I can get away with it a little bit more.
Yeah, well, and everybody loves a good holiday party, and I've got sure. a few coming up, but some of them can go pretty late. So can a lack of sleep affect our gut microbiome as well?
It can. You know, the research is a bit spotty there. I mean, everything influences our microbiome. I think that the what's more concrete in the literature is that the microbiome influences sleep. So in the case of, you know, our circadian rhythm, the microbiome can influence that. Basically, you know, there's research that shows that from day to night, you know, our food intake, our dietary intake, influences our biological clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, microbiome, the biodiversity in the microbiome influences how long we stay asleep, the efficiency of our sleep, wakefulness after we fall asleep. And that's pretty ironclad in the research.
Well, and aren't there some foods that that can trigger our microbiome? Any specific holiday foods that you can think of that we should really try to avoid?
Or alcohol?
Oh gosh, yeah, alcohol.
Sure. Alcohol
yeah.
does, well, doesn't it?
That's a tough one. You know, I think trigger. You know, the word trigger foods is I think. You know, there's triggers in terms of like digestive upset, but the trigger foods, I guess, the most commonly used, you know, way of saying trigger foods is hyperpalatable foods, right? So refined sugars, refined carbohydrates, those tend to be a feed-forward effect. You know, you eat more, you mm-hmm. want more. I mean, sugar is the most addictive substance. It's been compared to, I mean, it's actually more addictive than cocaine in lab animals.
Mm.
So you know, if you get would any of us dabble in cocaine? Probably not, right?
No.
So it's looking at kind of sugar as an addictive substance. You know, the more we can minimize that during the holidays, the better. Also, when you combine sugar with alcohol, that's a really bad recipe for health. It's very toxic to the liver, to the brain. It does a lot of bad things to the body.
Alcohol mm-hmm. and sugar, or what about just alcohol? What if you're not doing the sugar, but so instead of dessert, you're having wine, or you're having asking for a friend.
we're circling the wagons on this, right? So yeah, alcohol in itself, I mean, I think can be used responsibly. I think minimizing sugar intake with alcohol is imperative, right?
It's, yeah.
Most of the, you know, kind of untold effects occurring the following day, that kind of nauseous feeling that people get sometimes from drinking alcohol is amplified in the presence of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being smart about your alcohol consumption. You mentioned wine.
Oh, yeah.
So wine is a great kind of talking point because I do drink wine a little bit during the holidays, but it's typically a dry-farmed wine. So dry-farmed wines have a naturally extremely mm-hmm. low sugar content, and so it's a kind of a safe, you know, safe way to use that responsibly.
I'm familiar with it.
Todd,
what is Todd's last name, the CEO of the company? I can't think of his last
name. Dry-farmed wines. Yeah,
yeah. I've actually spoken with him before.
Is it good? I mean,
I've wanted them to advertise on the show, but you know, they do a lot of affiliate programs. We don't do yep. that with One Life Radio, but I do agree. And I have to tell you, I had the most amazing bottle of wine last night that was brought directly from France by a friend of mine as a birthday gift. Anyway, she's going to hook me up, and I'll have to give you a bottle, but it's completely 100% biodynamic from a small winery in France. It tasted like the wine that, and my dad used to let us have a little sip of wine in the toots of the Italian bread when I was a kid, because you're like, wait, you were a kid drinking wine? Yes, I was.
You're Italian.
I'm Italian. And so, you know, you dip the bread in the wine, and you celebrate. But it was the closest thing I've ever tasted to that flavor of wine that I had as a child in my life. I'll have to hook you up with a bottle.
Well, thank you. Yeah, dry farmed wines are phenomenal. I mean, if you've ever, I mean, you guys have obviously tasted dry farmed wine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to your listeners, it's really fantastic.
No, I was a customer for a while, but the delivery is difficult because you have to sign for it because it's alcohol, and it just became so big of an obstacle for me that I kind of pulled away from the subscription. It's just because you get it delivered to your house. It's a subscription wine delivery. But
well, you can seek out dry farmed wines independently of the company. I mean, they're using the name dry farm wines, but it's just a growing method that reduces the sugar content. Yep.
I'll check it out. But one more question, okay? Do you have any tips for us to maintain healthy gut health during this holiday season, besides taking Terraflora, which I took it this morning?
Excellent, yeah. So minimizing refined carbohydrates and sugar, especially in the presence of alcohol, focusing on, good whole foods. You know, again, it's like anything else that you would eat. Stay away from refined foods, processed foods, sugar, and alcohol in the presence of those. If you do eat, foods that have those ingredients.
Yeah. Well, it's always great to have you on the air, and I wish you a happy holiday. I'll be sure to ship that bottle of wine as soon as I get it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Might be a few weeks. It's coming from France, but but always. And thank you so much for being a sponsor of the show, Jared, and believing in what we're doing here at One Life Radio and helping us pay the bills. I appreciate it with all my heart.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be back, and I encourage you to go to EnviroMedica.com and try all their products. They have another product, Ancient Minerals Magnesium Lotion called Good Night with Melatonin. It's amazing. That's the one that I talk about that I put on my legs at night.
Yeah, nice.
But I don't use it every single night. But anyway, it's a great product. Check it out, and we'll be back with Tina Burnett. You're listening to One Life Radio.
It's up to you.
Whoa. I feel like I'm at a Mavericks game.
They're doing great.
Yeah.
The Mavs are doing great.
They are?
Yeah. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Is that guy still crazy in the audience?
Basketball.
I don't remember. He used to get so
the
crazy
maniacs.
With his son. Well, this was some guy that, I don't know.
Just a fan.
A fan to do this whole thing to the song, and it would... I can hear them now. Then it gets real crazy. The song's like they start.
I just don't watch basketball ever.
I don't watch basketball either.
It's fun if you're like at the game.
I used to have season tickets years ago with Wingstop.
Yeah.
And so that's when I used to go to the games all the time with my former husband and our children when we only had one. Vinny used to go to a lot of Maverick games when she was a kid. And we also, a lot of people don't know this, so we were the first sponsor of the Mark Cuban show. Wingstop was when Mark Cuban first started... he had a little television show for a while.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
That was a while ago.
That was
like 20, like 19, 18, somewhere around there. A lot of years ago.
Yep. Long time ago.
But it's always great to have Tina Burnett in studio. She is a longtime guest expert on the show. She and Jill Lane have been doing it with me for years. She has a bachelor's of kinesiology. She is certified in strength and conditioning. She is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. She is certified in biodynamics, and she is part of the Aerobic and Fitness Association of America. Tina has been in the fitness industry for over 30 30 years teaching cardiovascular classes at several of Dallas's top studios and health clubs, as well as instructing and developing resistance training programs, which she did with me this morning, for individuals and groups in the gym and at home. She has also been named top female personal trainer in DFW by the Personal Trainers Hall of Fame. Always a pleasure. Today we're talking about neural adaptations and strength training. So can you explain for our listeners what neural adaptation is?
Okay, and this is in reference to strength training and weight training, which you did today. Basically, neural adaptations refers to the brain's ability to recruit muscles to contract and produce a particular movement. So you have motor neurons. I'm kind of jumping ahead, but just to kind of make that make sense, you have motor neurons that begin at the in your brain, mm-hmm. and there's a pathway they create to the muscles where they, at the end of the muscle fibers, and that's where the neuromuscular junction is. So basically, it's signals sent from the brain that run along the motor neuron to the muscle fiber to produce movements or muscle contractions. And what's interesting is because you have, you know, your neural system, mm-hmm. your brain, can cause, like, it makes your heart beat. There's automatic contractions that are involuntary. You don't have to think about to tell your brain, right. Oh, contract my heart.
Right.
But voluntary contractions are like when you make a movement or do strength training, or you have to think to lift your hand up to pick up a pen. Those are voluntary. Mm-hmm. So when you work out with specifically with weights like strength training, you have to train. I call it training the brain. You have to train the brain to be good at firing through these motor neurons and creating a contraction of the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know how when you were doing that exercise,
yeah,
on the floor
today? Yeah, that's what I was
today,
just going to bring
you
up.
You were having a hard time getting that motor pattern down. That skill of the coordination of that. Well, that's a trained thing.
You guys should have seen it. I was a total goofball on the first one. And by the third set, I was like, I got this.
Yeah, I said, the more you do it. So through repetition, like especially with strength training or exercise of any kind, some people are really naturally, like I've been training for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get people that just pick it up really quick. Like show them a movement and they're getting those muscles working good. But most people, it does take them a few sets. So, and I have some people that just takes them forever to really finally master that specific movement, whether it's a squat or a, you know, push up or a rowing motion. But it just that repetition and repetition where you're continuing to create that pattern.
Let me ask you this question that just came naturally to me. So how do I want to present this? So if the way, you know, your muscles get stronger from working out, right? Mm-hmm. Does your brain get stronger from that neural, adaptation as well, where you get better at it, just like you get stronger lifting weights?
Well, it creates, it's not that your brain, I mean, so whatever movement or motor pattern that you learn, so say you someone that's just learning how to do a squat is a great example. You have to recruit a lot of muscles for that. Mm-hmm. You've got your glutes, your hamstrings, your quads, and then you've got all the stabilizers in your torso and your core. And so when you first time someone does a squat, it's going to take it, you know, after a few times, they might finally get it. And so then the message that you get back to the brain, it's going to stay there. So the more you do that movement and you do it correctly, and that's the key, that's why form and technique are so important, is the more that you do it and it becomes a more natural, automatic. So you don't have to think about it as much. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you first learn a movement, like today, you're having to really think about, okay, how do I get this, you know, position? What am I doing?
And it was physically hard too. It was mentally and physically hard.
Right. And then you said to me, well, you know, you're in such good shape. This is also easy for you. And I said, well, it's because I've been doing it for so many years.
Right.
It just comes naturally to me now. Mm-hmm. I don't have to think about it. Now, if I go and do, like when I had to go to physical therapy for my knee, you know, when I blew out my knee,
mm-hmm.
she taught me some things that I'd never done before. So I had to, you know, you have to kind of think about it, especially like one of the things was standing on this little balance board on one foot and she was throwing a ball at me, but she was throwing it at different sides of me and over my head. And I was having a, you know, so it's just, and that's kind of a quick thing, you know, reaction thing. But you know, you learn these motor patterns, but at the same time, you can also learn motor patterns that aren't good. So if someone's been doing squats for years and they've been doing it wrong, mm-hmm. it's really hard to get them to to relearn it.
Well, yeah,
but you can. It just takes longer, and it's like even as adults, you know, babies when they're born don't have the motor skill of walking.
Right.
It takes them, and they have to work at it. Well, even as adults, learning, like someone comes to me and I show them a new exercise they've never done, it takes them a while to get it.
Yeah,
and they're like, I feel so uncoordinated, and I'm like, well, it's just learning. It's like a baby learning to walk. You have to do it over and over until you get it.
Right,
and you will finally get it.
Practice makes perfect. Well, how does neural adaptation apply to an individual that is just starting a strength training program?
Well, that's kind of what I was just talking about is, you know, always start with body weight movements, ideally, and bigger movements, complex movements are better because you're recruiting more different muscle groups, like a squat.
Right.
And then adding weight, and then because you can't really get stronger until you adapt neurally. Once you adapt neurally and the brain's good at activating and recruiting more muscle fibers, you start adding load. So resistance, that's why resistance training, and the only way to get stronger mm-hmm. and to add more muscle is to continue to increase the weight. You increase the weight, your body starts having more motor neurons and more muscle fibers being activated, and mm-hmm. then you start getting muscle growth, and then your muscle, and then you adapt, and you got to continue to add or change the movements to continue to get results.
Well, you know, today what you were talking about, the steady state cardio, and we've only got about a minute, but
I love
steady state cardio, and we and Jill was, or not Jill, excuse me, Freudian slip there, Tina, they're like one person, Tina and Jill. But you were talking about how it's better to do HIIT training on my spin bike than it is to do that steady state cardio in order to burn fat and it's
more effective for fat loss because it elevates your heart rate more, you get a metabolic effect, and you only do it for 15 or 20 minutes rather than sitting there for 30 or an hour on the bike doing steady state.
That's what I'm going to do tomorrow, Tina. Good. I might even do some inchworms.
Your favorite.
My favorite, yeah. But those, again, doing something that you don't like. You have to do that sometimes in order to develop the strength. And I need to understand that. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable.
You don't like it because it's hard.
I know.
Because you're not good at it.
And I'm not.
That's
there
the
you
only
go.
Way to get better at it is by doing it.
Yeah, that and my shoulders.
Pushing through.
Yeah, pushing through. Always such a great segment here with Tina Burnett talking about getting out there and getting some movement and doing it the right way. You can find her at tbfitnesspro@gmail.com. That's tbfitnesspro@gmail.com or on Instagram at tbfitnesspro. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. A big shout out to our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, No Evil Foods, Crazy Water, Veg World Magazine, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorne Research, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.